Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on Sports Grid on a Thursday morning, and this is the Early Line. I am Kevin Walsh, joined as always by Donnie Wrightside, DRS. What's the word?
Yeah, big night in the city of Philadelphia last night. All worked out. If you took an over in that game, congratulations, you cashed it in. If you took the Philadelphia 76ers to cover double digits, you cashed that ticket in. But more importantly, the Philadelphia Sixers, KW, 3-0 with the beard, James Harden, running the point.
There were some losing bets out there, like a Knicks team total live. That was maybe not as smart. We'll get there as well. We begin in the NBA with our 7-7 headlines, but not from anything in terms of results last night, but the news that tonight, Kevin Durant returns, DRS, for the Brooklyn Nets. First time in a long time, KD will be back out on the court.
Yeah, we were asking yesterday, or at least I was asking on the show, when are we going to get any information that he's coming back? Because you haven't heard anything other than he's going to be back this week. Does that mean early in the week, late in the week? Does that mean next week turns into the following week? But it actually turns into Thursday night. Everything seeming to come together here in a packed Eastern Conference as we head towards the playoffs now.
Last time we saw Kevin Durant play was versus the New Orleans Pelicans on the 15th of January. It has been a long time since KD has been out there on the court. We'll talk about the impact that this has on their game lines, their props, and, of course, their odds to win an NBA championship. But right back to the results last night, and as Donnie mentioned, Harden's Philly debut, another successful trip there for the 76ers out onto the basketball court. At first, it looked like maybe it'd fall into a trap spot. But then you remember they're playing the New York Knicks. They win that third quarter 38-19, and they never looked back as they beat the Knicks 123-108.
Yeah, Sixers scoring a lot of points here. And also keep in mind, James Harden has played three games now with the Philadelphia 76ers, one triple-double and two almost triple-doubles, which we were betting yesterday, 26-9-9. Just wish you could have got one more rebound and one more assist. Would have been a nice payday yesterday, but it is what it is at this point. The Philadelphia 76ers beat the Knicks twice, beat the Milwaukee Timberwolves once. I can't wait to see them play the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee Bucks, Miami Heat, and really start to test this team out. Oh, yeah, KW, 3-3 is the date right now. 3-10 is a date with the Brooklyn Nets.
That'll be a good one there. We'll see who's actually out there, though, when it comes around. Also, right now, Harden might actually look like the best player on the Sixers, and the other candidate, obviously, is the front runner for the MVP. That's a good problem to have for Philadelphia. Top of the Eastern Conference battle as well. We saw the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat square off in Milwaukee thanks to a late Jrue Holiday layup. Narrowly edges out the Miami Heat 120-119. Great game, Donnie, between maybe the two best teams in the Eastern Conference overall.
Yeah, nice balance by the Bucks last night on offense, Kevin. 28 points out of Giannis. You've got Middleton, 26 points. Jrue Holiday, 25 points. Actually came up a little bit short on a plus-money number. I needed Portis to make 3 3-point shots yesterday. He went 2 of 6, so wasn't able to cash that ticket in. And I also thought the Milwaukee Bucks would have covered that 4.5 points, and they didn't. But a nice win for the Bucks here. And as we said, the Eastern Conference, there's about 4 to 5 teams here with a legitimate claim to try to win it. And we're going to see a lot of interesting doings here down the stretch.
Miami continued to be great at providing overs when priced as a dog. Pretty good against the spread as a dog as well, but they likely should have won that basketball game. They had a late lead at one point. We're up in the game by as many as 14 points. points. We'll take a look at how this game maybe impacts the outlook for the Eastern Conference. And again, that Sixers result and Kevin Durant coming back. A lot of good stuff in the NBA. Also in the NFL. First, we bring the radio audience into the mix here. Appreciate all those tuning in to Sports Grid Radio, listening to the early line on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here. And DRS taking a look towards the NFL headlines as news keeps coming out from around the combine. Pete Carroll says the Seahawks have no intention of trading Russell Wilson.
You think? What if they came out yesterday and said, we have every intention of trading Russell Wilson? This is the, you know, cat and mouse game that I love to see, where you hear Russell Wilson, I only want to be a Seahawk, but behind the scenes, give that list of teams he will go to, the front office for the Seahawks. What are you, crazy? We would never even think about trading Russell Wilson. Hey, code for it. Pick up the phone and call us. We'll see if we can work out a deal. It'll be interesting to see if he does actually move on from the Seattle Seahawks, but I always love the posturing here. No shot I'm leaving Seattle, and no shot we're trading him, only to actually be moved out of town before the draft happens.
It just reiterates that the ball is going to be in Russell Wilson's court, and he's not going to be able to passively, aggressively get his way out of Seattle. He's going to actually need to request the trade. We'll see if he is willing to do that. Another quarterback update. The Miami Dolphins, Donnie, have said they've shut the door on the idea of trading for Deshaun Watson. A team heavily linked to Watson, saying they're out.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to bring up also in the NFL. We're talking about quarterbacks in the shuffling here, because it was only a few short months ago where the owner of the Miami Dolphins was talking directly to Deshaun Watson to see how they can make a move from Houston to Miami. Quickly, things change in the NFL, but the Miami Dolphins, we'll see if they're still in the hunt for another quarterback here.
It does seem as if the Dolphins' link to Watson was always very, very tied to Brian Flores to me. I'm not sure how keen Watson was on landing in Miami anymore, as is. Last NFL headline, the Cardinals extend Cliff Kingsbury. Usually this wouldn't make the cut, Donnie, but this kind of feels like a slap in the face to Kyler Murray.
The only guy that asked for the extension was Kyler Murray, and the only two guys that got it were the GM and the head coach. Whoa, buckle up, Arizona.
Interesting times. Also, Alabama continues to be the wildest basketball team in the country. They got smashed by A&M on their home floor. NBA Talk is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Let's start with some of the results last night in the NBA. And the Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat game certainly felt like the biggest one on the slate. The Bucks, as a 4.5, 4-point favorite, win the game, but do not cover, winning at 120 to 119. Over was, let's be honest, an easy one. This game flew from start to finish. I mean, you were able to get a fourth quarter under, but I don't know if people were still betting these 245 and a half. Ultimately, the game lands with 239 points put up on this board here. DRS, what was your takeaway from the Bucks here narrowly beating the Miami Heat?
My takeaway, get the crystal ball out and let's read into it before the game. Hey, Donnie, you want to bet this basketball game? What if I told you the outright winner would not be a team that shot 83% from the free throw line and also shot 48% from the three-point line? You're talking about a game here, Kevin, that you had Vincent, 5 of 11 from three-point range. Robinson, 5 of 7 from three-point range. Tyler Hero off the bench, 6 of 10 from three-point range. Strus even chipped in with 2 three-point shots, and also Martin with 2 three-point shots. That is amazing to me, but it just goes to show you the power of these two teams. They're very good. Arguably, maybe the top 1, 2, 3, or 4 teams in whatever order you put them in, but that's what I got out of this game, where even though Miami went on the road, played what feels like a perfect game, still not able to beat the world champions on their home court. So where does that value lie to end the regular season and into the playoffs? You might get a little peek at this one. This is going to be nip and tuck all the way through, because these teams are just about equal for me. We're talking about the Sixers, the Nets, the Bucks, and the Heat. And also, you're leaving out those Chicago Bulls as well. The top five is going to be so much fun to watch. That's what I took out of that game last night.
Yeah, look, I think the East is very loaded. I agree with the notion that this, if these two teams meet, would be a tight series. But I think, Donnie, that this is nowhere near a perfect game for Miami because, Donnie, if we play the same game out, if I told you that Jimmy Butler had 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 2 of 14, was a minus 21, what did the Heat lose by? 30? 40 yeah. points in the game? Their best player was their worst player, and Kyle Lowry wasn't even available. And I understand you're not going to routinely lie on Gabe Vincent's 5 of 11. Hey, Vincent's not even a starter for this basketball team. I know that Duncan Robinson doesn't go 5 of 7 from 3 every game. Duncan Robinson's been ice cold his last week of basketball, hitting multiple people's bans list out there. Tyler Hero is a minus 2,000 favorite to win sixth man of the year. He is the best player off the bench in the entire NBA. There's no shot here at Milwaukee. They were down by 14 points in this game and found a way to come back into it. They've gotten tremendous production out of Bobby Portis. Giannis found his stride as this game went on. Chris Middleton kept them afloat inside the first half of this game. But I look at this year and I remain completely unwavering in my idea that the Miami Heat are the best team in this conference. Everything that they continue to put forward here. You should not be able to go to Milwaukee and have your best player be your worst player and keep it anywhere near within 15 points. Because, Donnie, to the same point here, the Milwaukee Bucks went 24 of 27 from the, I mean, they made 14 more free throws than Miami. Their three-point percentage was nearly 40% here. Milwaukee hung a 120 spot in this game. I still come away wildly impressed with what Miami brings forward on a nightly basis.
It is impressive, and you're right about that, and that shows the depth of the team because what we're looking at here overall is you have a very, very good head coach in Eric Spoelstra, and you have a lot of components that actually fit perfectly together when you take a look at the Miami Heat because if you want frontline scoring, you get it. But also keep in mind, as you said, when Lowry comes back, that pushes other players to the bench. That's a deep bench, and you have the best guy in the league coming off the bench, which is Tyler Hero. Say, hey, you know what? We need a little bit of a pick-me-up off the bench. Well, how about 30 points that I can give you on a nightly basis? It seems like now. He was tremendous last night. So when you're looking towards the playoffs and what makes sense, yes, you need that front line scoring. But also, when you go to the bench, it can't be one of those things like, hey, we're just hoping to, you know, not sink in this game and just tread water till the starters get back. You can actually increase your lead with this team because you're getting shooting and scoring. Strus comes off the bench. As I said, also, Tyler Hero comes off the bench. Vincent's going to come off that bench. This is a team to watch out for. And again, we talk about some of these teams still flying under the radar. The Heat don't fly under the radar anymore. They're the top seed. But I just think sometimes the better word would be lost in the shuffle because we're so worried about James Harden in Philadelphia. You know, coming back Ben Simmons to Brooklyn and how he's going to team up with Kevin Durant. And then you have, you know, maybe the Bulls out there, but also keep in mind the world champion Milwaukee Bucks, which is fascinating because so many times in the past, Kevin, we're maybe more excited here for the Western Conference and their playoffs to see who's going to make it out of there, but not the case this year. It's all Eastern Conference for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the East is the better conference this year. And I think what you said about Miami actually is fair in terms of where the biggest storylines lay. Can Milwaukee repeat? What is going on with Durant? Harden's now in Philadelphia. The new look Chicago Bulls. The fact that the Boston Celtics looked like they were going to be a sub 500 team losing Brad Stevens. And now all of a sudden, you know, people think that this team might be able to go out there and win an NBA championship. And Miami's just going to chug along, get to the postseason, be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And we'll see how the rest of this bracket lines up. Though I'll tell you, it feels like Philly's going to give them a run here, DRS. It's 3 games. And 2 of them were against the New York Knicks that are basically a fake basketball team at this point, it feels like here. But, I mean, come on now. I mean, you've got a Philadelphia 76ers team that is just putting up some unbelievable numbers offensively. 133, 125, 123, all covers so far with Harden in the lineup. And he has been as good, if not better, than Joel Embiid during these first 3 games. And Embiid, every time he goes out there, Donnie, improves his status as the MVP favorite.
Better than advertised. How about that at this point? What do you get out of Wash James Harden? Just doesn't feel like he wants to be in Brooklyn. Looks like he gained 20 pounds. We were hearing all that stuff. He's got a hamstring injury that he doesn't even care about rehabbing because he doesn't like basketball anymore. Comes right over to the Philadelphia 76ers, feels the love here. And also, you're taking a look about balanced attack because typically what were you expecting here? Harden's going to come over and dominate. Embiid's going to come over and dominate. But there's a lot around them. Like you're hoping Tobias Harris can have a decent night or Matisse Thybulle or even Tyrese Maxey. Take a look at last night. 27 out of Joel Embiid. 25 25 out of Tyrese Maxey, 26 out of James Harden. That balanced attack is exactly what you have. And also, one of the fun parts about it that came about last night at the end of the game, which we found out, was at the half, Tyrese Maxey had 4 points. James Harden comes over and says, hey, kid, you going to play tonight or what? And actually storms the fort in the second half and puts up over 20 points here and helps carry the Philadelphia 76ers in that big third quarter that they won 38-19. And again, I preface this because, you know, we're basketball fans, right? College basketball, NBA, NFL fans and all that. Being a Sixer fan right now for myself, the anticipation for games now is as high as it was back in 2001 with Allen Iverson. This team legitimately is going to make a deep run in the playoffs, but more importantly, it's fun basketball to watch. You turn on the 76ers right now, Kevin, and watch James Harden, Joel Embiid, and some of the young kids get after it. They are a lot of fun to watch, and sometimes just getting excited for a game is the hard part, and the Sixers are doing that here in the city of brotherly love.
And I think in some ways it's – maybe it was difficult to put into perspective until you watch Harden and Embiid play together, but neither one of these guys has ever played with a player like the one that they're out there with. And first of all, I mean, who's the best player that Joel Embiid's ever played with? And I mean, the answer is Ben Simmons, ultimately. And while I think Ben Simmons, when he's on his game, is a top 25-ish range player, James Harden, you know, has the potential to be a top 25 all-time player, much less currently active in the league. And then for James Harden's career, not when he was the sixth man in Oklahoma City, while Chris Paul was certainly valuable in Houston, and, you know, there was still a decent portion of rust that he played with while also a Rocket there. And last year in Brooklyn, Donnie, it's a part of this three-man weave. They're never ultimately all out there. James Harden is out there putting up MVP-type numbers with the league's MVP, it looks like, in Joel Embiid. And the chemistry has been instant because sometimes it's not that hard. Rebound, run, find the best player. Half court set, throw it underneath. Screen and roll. These are two tremendous basketball players. Right now, look like easily two of the 10 best players in the sport. And when you have two top 10 players in the NBA, you are more than a threat to go out there and win an NBA championship. Maybe the best player in the NBA is returning. That's Kevin Durant. We'll talk about our expectations next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, and coming back is Kevin Durant for the Brooklyn Nets. It's an odd situation where we haven't seen him in almost 2 months. I'll be honest, as someone with Nets under 44.5 wins, although which is off to a good start, Durant's back a little bit earlier than I had anticipated here. Still, though, going to be the only, you know, big-time star out there for Brooklyn as, of course, Kyrie cannot play at home. Ben Simmons still kind of figuring everything out. We obviously know they're also dealing with the injury right now to Andre Drummond. But so often the idea with a player like Kevin Durant is roll the ball out there and everything will be fine. Or at the minimum, you'll be tremendously competitive. DRS, what are your expectations for Kevin Durant as he returns to action for the first time since the 15th of January?
Now, tonight, it might be a mixed bag, but my expectations are the same Kevin Durant that I saw before he got injured, dominating the NBA and giving the Brooklyn Nets a legitimate chance at winning the Eastern Conference and an NBA championship. That's where I'm coming from. Now, tonight, I don't know what I'm going to get. And the reason why I don't know, Kevin, is it almost seems like the narrative coming out of Brooklyn is we're not getting the narrative. We're not getting a, hey, Klay Thompson's going to come back and only play 25 minutes no matter what. It's going to be one of those games where, if you remember when James Harden came back to the Philadelphia 76ers after getting traded, sitting out a week and a half, and then obviously sitting out the All-Star break. I didn't know what I was going to get. Was I going to get full James Harden, play 30-plus minutes, and get close to a triple-double, which he did? Or was I going to get James Harden like, hey, let's ease him into this 15 to 20 minutes, get him acclimated, get him back in the fold of an NBA game? That's what I don't know. So I haven't heard anything. So I'm under the assumption, Kevin, he is ready. He is willing to go over 30 minutes and be the old Kevin Durant. That's what I'm looking forward to tonight.
So a little story on Kevin Durant and last year with the Brooklyn Nets. Last year, Kevin Durant played on the 13th of February against Golden State, had himself a great game, and then proceeded to miss about 2 months of action. His return game was versus the New Orleans Pelicans. And I remember this game well. We were at the time, of course, rocking and rolling on In Play Sports Tonight, and they posted a Kevin Durant point prop in the very, very low 20s. Kevin Durant did not start in that game. Kevin Durant played 19 minutes of action on the 7th of April. 2 month window there, Donnie, for Kevin Durant. Should be rusty. He went 5 for 5 from the field, 2 for 2 from three, 5 for 5 from the line, and in 19 minutes scored 17 points. It was a nightmare to watch. Narrowly escaped with the under. That's only because the Pelicans lost that game to the Brooklyn Nets by 28 points. Kevin Durant just doesn't have drop-offs. That's just not a thing. I don't know how. It's wild. He had an unbelievably catastrophic injury that basically cost him what felt like 2 seasons of basketball, and he missed not a beat last year returning for the Brooklyn Nets and had an absolute claim to the best player in the sport. He had a claim to the best player in the sport when he was healthy this year. Just so if people probably have forgotten this, but he was this close to jumping in front of Steph Curry for odds to win MVP at the time that he went down. Who knows what the Brooklyn Nets look like? Who knows what the NBA looks like if he never gets injured? Harden might still be a Brooklyn Net for all that we know. But as far as the expectations, DRS, from Durant specifically, and we don't have his props listed just yet, he's going to be out there by himself. We know that. I mean, it's a first game back, so I think we can find ourselves a discount, but I don't really have any reason to believe that he'll be scoring less than 30 points, even if it is his first game back.
No, and you're right. And you're trying to flip over and say, hey, what makes the most sense here? Now, is betting a prop tonight for Kevin Durant going to be a smart thing to do? No, because us as handicappers and gamblers, you like it a little bit more betting in a vacuum, right? Like, hey, he's had 5 straight games where he played really well and played over 30 minutes and scored over 25 points. Great. I have something I can sink my teeth into. The worst case scenario, as you said, is betting into the unknown. Like, do we think he's on a minutes restriction? Is he not on a minutes restriction? Is he going to be saying, let me use these final 20 games to work on my game? By the time we get to the playoffs, I'll be back just like, you know, MVP Kevin Durant. Now, if we take a look at the game tonight overall, I don't know how to bet it per se, but even if we take a look at overall on the Nets season, we just talked about how good the Eastern Conference is, Kevin. You watch the Philadelphia 76ers, obviously a much better team now that James Harden is in town. You see the Milwaukee Bucks getting healthy again, getting back to that normal starting lineup. Grayson Allen back. Maybe he can add that impact that he had in the first part of the season, knocking down some triples and opening up the game for Giannis and Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. And then we have, obviously, the Chicago Bulls are a good team and the Miami Heat. But still, today, FanDuel Sportsbook, price to win the Eastern Conference is the Brooklyn Nets at a plus 270 price. Behind them, Milwaukee plus 290, Philadelphia 76ers plus 320, Miami Heat 5-1, then the Boston Celtics hovering around that 10-1 spot here. So we are still in this holding pattern. Now, I ask you this question, Kevin, because we've always had, or I should say we've, the FanDuel Sportsbook has always had the Brooklyn Nets of going to be the outright winner of the Eastern Conference, even though they're not even a ready-made team yet. So are we going to see this number fluctuate now that we get Kevin Durant back in the lineup? Because as we see with the Philadelphia 76ers, James Harden, it looks like it's a great fit. Now, if we see Kyrie come back and maybe the mask mandate, you know, lifts and the mandate for vaccine lifts in New York City, he can play home games as well. Kevin Durant's back to healthy Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons adds that defensive punch on the outside. Are we going to see this number move even higher? Or if Kevin Durant comes back and slow plays it and the Nets don't look all that dominant, does that number shift even lower, which means maybe the Bucks, Philadelphia 76ers, or the Heat move up into that spot?
Here's why this game tonight is the perfect spot to try and get an idea for that question. Because while we expect Kyrie Irving, kind of, right, to be out there for the playoffs, and while we definitely anticipate that Ben Simmons will be out there, as of today, Brooklyn round one goes to Miami. Goes to Miami. Miami on the second leg of a back-to-back in a battle last night in Milwaukee is laying 3.5 in Brooklyn. It gives you an idea of where these teams sit. So you want, I mean, because Don, like, so we get to the postseason, right? And they get Kyrie back and they get Ben Simmons back. But Miami is at home for the series and not, you know, playing without rest. You're, to me, you're looking at the Brooklyn Nets at a pick 'em if not slight dog price in a series versus the Miami Heat in the opening round. You cannot be the favorite to win a conference if you are going to be an underdog in your opening series. There is no world that that is workable there. And while I don't worry about what Kevin Durant is going to bring to the table, Donnie, here's the reality. He goes out there and puts up 40, 10, and 10. He goes out there and puts up 15, 4, and 3. It doesn't matter, honestly, because I don't have any concern over what Kevin Durant is going to bring to the table. To me, the Brooklyn Net zone-in points, whether or not Kyrie can play playoff basketball, and whether or not Ben Simmons plays and what that looks like. Last time we saw Ben Simmons, DRS, was in June. It's almost unfair to Durant. This is kind of what happened to him in Golden State, where everybody continually labeled Steph to be the most important player. And then even in Brooklyn, it felt like Harden was in ways their most important player. It's because Durant's floor is just constantly an efficient 30 points. Like, he rocks up, he's got 30 on 55, 40, 90, and you figure out the rest from there. I know KD is good, and that's part of the reason that they're the favorites in the East, but Kevin Durant's not going to do this on his own.
No, he's not going to do it on his own, but it seems like at times he can do it on his own, and if we just remember last year in the playoffs, it's a shame his feet are so big because one toe on the line actually gave the Milwaukee Bucks a chance to win an NBA championship, which they capitalized on. That's how good he is, and that's why we're all interested to see because, again, the anticipation of him coming back, and again, Kyrie Irving playing more along with Ben Simmons, that's why they have the lead in the Eastern Conference, but I think you're correct here. I don't know if it's priced that way because maybe if we're just looking at it and take out the playoff seeding, if you're just lining these teams up and say seven-game series, who would be the best team? Well, hey, Kevin Durant's on one side, Kyrie Irving's on one side, Ben Simmons is there. You have a decent bench to work with. I understand, and that's why they're the favorite. But if you use it in what we like to say, I don't know, real-world time per se, they have a long way to go, and you don't have it set in your favor when you're the lower seed. You are going to continuously play better basketball teams all the way through. And that might happen here to the Nets, but I'm interested to see tonight because that frenzy could be set off. Let's just say KD comes back tonight and does that 35-plus minutes tonight, scores 35 points. They beat the Miami Heat and say, hey, they just beat the Heat without Ben Simmons and also Kyrie Irving. Sign me up for a championship run. So many things can go crazy tonight. But again, we have to remember, if the Brooklyn Nets play really well and KD plays well tonight, it doesn't mean they win the Eastern Conference. If the Brooklyn Nets don't play well tonight and KD only plays 15 minutes, it doesn't mean they don't have a chance to win the Eastern Conference. I love the tempered expectations, but that's not going to stop us fans here from watching this game going on a one-game stand and go, yep, they can win it, or nope, they can't win it. I knew it.
Here's the thing, though, about Brooklyn and where they are now. Let's get Kyrie can play in every game of the series, and I give you Ben Simmons back, and he looks pretty good, right? And obviously Durant's Durant. If you go to Miami, are you favored as the Brooklyn Nets? Maybe, not by a lot. If you went to at Milwaukee, are you favored? Absolutely not. If you went to Philadelphia, are you favored? No, you're not. That's Brooklyn's path to the NBA Finals right now. Miami in round one, Milwaukee in round two, Philly in round three. This team can't be favored to win this conference. Their path is almost impossible, even if everything breaks right. And still nothing's breaking right. I mean, Kyrie Irving's going to be stood next to Mr. Whammy at the Barclays Center trying to get Giannis to miss free throws if they're lucky enough to make it into the second round. This team's going to be in the play-in. That's right, DRS. Mr. Whammy, I'll be hanging out with him tonight. You don't know Mr. Whammy? Oh. He's the old dude who's at the Barclays Center trying to get people to miss free throws there. I don't like his style, if I'm honest with you, but he's out there and he's getting after it. We'll get after
Mr. Whammy on the show for you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot or not time right here on the early line. You look at some of the results from the board last night. One that caught my eye was the New Orleans Pelicans 125 to 95 victory over the Sacramento Kings, two teams that made a little bit of a push at the trade deadline. They're trying to get involved with the deadline. It looks like the Pelicans could very well be successful. Winners of three in a row, all impressive wins. 117-102 at Phoenix, 123-95 at the Lakers, and again this 125-95 victory here versus Sacramento. The New Orleans Pelicans are hoping to make it out of the play-in and find themselves in the playoffs. And if that happens, well, it likely means that the purple and gold will be out of the playoffs. LeBron James saying, if you want to keep me out, you need to bury me 12 feet deep. I got to tell you, LBJ, my man, we're about 8 feet deep at this point right now, man. I mean, they are not all that far out. But let's ask the question, Donnie, hot or not, the Lakers will miss the playoffs.
Yeah, this is a good question to bring up here. But by the way, LeBron, I mean, most people say it's 6 feet deep, right? So they're building some deep graves out there in Los Angeles here and trying to get themselves out. Now, are we talking here, Kevin, hot or not, as making the playoffs, as in getting into the play-in round, or making the true playoffs, which means surviving the playoff round? The true playoffs, yeah, they're not making it in. They're not making it in. And quite frankly here, this is the reason why the NBA is saying, like, aha, this is why we have a play-in, because technically, I guess, LeBron does make the playoffs if he gets into the play-in game, but they're just not good enough right now. No longer am I just going to rely on, and keep in mind also, this isn't a suspension for Anthony Davis. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is he just doesn't stay away for 2 weeks, or he has, you know, something, let's just say COVID, and he's fine, asymptomatic, but has to sit out 2 weeks. He's coming back from an injury, which means he's going to have to be ramp up again, which means we've watched Anthony Davis for a long time in his career, which means he's probably going to be injured again at some point. It's beyond the point, I guess, where LeBron is getting older in age, where he just can't come every night, Kevin, and go 28-9-6, and they still lose the game. It's tough. I mean, he's getting age, because also the thing that I was talking about for so long with the Lakers and how they could make a run in the playoffs, you know what? Let's just get in here. Let's rest LeBron James down the stretch. Anthony Davis will catch up to him. So even if we just make the play-in, we have a healthy, rested and ready LeBron James and Anthony Davis coming back with a couple weeks here to get his, you know, volume back up on the court and get him used to playing and acclimated back with the Los Angeles Lakers. But it's almost going at the opposite end of the spectrum, where we're hoping to get Anthony Davis back where he's healthy, but we are running LeBron into the ground in the final 20 games just to make the play-in. Never in a million years did I see this was going to happen to the Lakers. So I'm going to go absolutely not. The Lakers are not making it into the playoffs here.
Man, it's interesting, because I have to disagree. Now, you take a look at the scope, right? The funny thing is, if I ask, are they going to make the play-in, there are plenty of people who would say no. The 11 spot, Portland Trailblazers, they might get kicked out of the NBA for the level of tanking that they're about to put forward here in the second half of this season. I mean, they lost by 30 again last night. You cannot average 30-point loss after 30-point loss. I mean, they've lost by 38, 32, and 30 since the All-Star break. I mean, again, like, the Portland Trail Blazers might legitimately get kicked out of the NBA. I mean, they're not going to get kicked out of the NBA, but they should for that. So they're fine in terms of the play-in, right? Like, the Sacramento Kings made this big push, Donnie, and the Pels just dropped them by 30. I don't think the Domantas Sabonis trade is looking like it's going to work out in Sacramento. So we're going to find ourselves in a single-game elimination, and it's going to be LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Malik Monk, because that's the big three, certainly not number zero, versus Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, and definitely not Zion, who's definitely never going to play for the Pelicans ever again. You know the Lakers are going to be favored in that basketball game. That's going to be the reality of the situation. Now, here is the beautiful thing, because a lot of people out there are going to say, well, if they play the Clippers, PG's back. How are they going to be able to beat the Clippers? Well, wouldn't you anticipate that that Clippers team then could handle their business against a young Minnesota Timberwolves if Paul George is back? So I anticipate the Lakers then will be playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. Scrappy group, no doubt. A team that can go out there and hit 23s and put up 130 if the Lakers don't show up. But it is still one game. I'm not sat here saying hot or not the Lakers are going to win the NBA championship. I save those questions for April. Not hot or not, they're going to beat the Suns in five. We wait to see if Chris Paul ultimately gets back. Simply making the playoffs, Donnie. I'm looking at two single-game elimination spots there with the expectation that AD is back and LeBron is still LeBron, and it has to be hot for me that the Lakers still land inside the playoffs.
And I can't fight it because we're trying to use a lot of conjecture here, like who's coming back and who's going to be healthy. And just a few weeks ago, I was looking at saying, okay, you get Anthony Davis back, LeBron James, they're going to be. And anytime you have a 1-2 punch like that in a one-game playoff, anything can happen. And it's not to say like, hey, man, LeBron's never done that before. It's a lot of pressure. LeBron's been through many of championship game scenarios and performed very well. So there's no doubt in my mind he will do that. But from a perfect scenario, which could have lined up where just a few weeks ago, Kevin, I was just saying like, it doesn't matter what the Lakers do. Just get rest for LeBron James and just get Anthony Davis back healthy. And it looks like they're still fighting, which is so crazy to believe. Where every day the Lakers are actually looking at the Portland Trailblazers and saying, thank you. Like, thank you for tanking. If you had any polls, you would have passed us, and it would have been real embarrassing if we didn't even make the play-in at this point. But it looks like the Portland Trailblazers are saying, like, hey, it's better off to not even make the play-in and see if we get a little bit better, higher seeding here in once the draft comes up, which is ludicrous at this point here, and then try to rebuild around Dame Lillard. I have no idea what's going on in Portland. But at the same breath, the Lakers are actually getting lucky because of the tanking of the Portland Trailblazers.
I hope we get another update. Damian Lillard is still contemplating whether or not he should come back or not, man. Hey, Donnie, here, I'll do every one of the big NBA reporters' jobs. The Blazers have confirmed that Damian Lillard will not be returning for the rest of this season. You can go ahead and publish that. Damian Lillard will not be back to go out there and play with this Portland Trailblazer roster. I can promise you that. Nurkic as well, while we're at it, right? Double confirmation. They're not coming back to Portland for the remainder of this season. Here's the other thing, Donnie, that a lot of people forget. LeBron James, perfect in the play-in, unbeaten. Never been beaten in the play-in, Donnie. I mean, now come on now. Let's not hide the facts here, DRS. This guy thrives in the play-in. He's dotting deep-range threes in Steph's eye, letting him know who really is the long sniper in the NBA. I find that you're forgetting those facts.
Some people say Jordan would never wind up in a play-in game, which, again, brings to the crux of the argument, that whole Jordan versus LeBron stuff here. And I love the fact is, six wins by Jordan, 6-0 in the finals. Yeah, but LeBron got there more, and, oh, man, it's great. By the way, how soon do we kick up that argument again? Who's better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan? And does it come down to, and do we start saying, like, oh, he lost that play-in game? That's a mark there against him.
Well, listen, don't forget last year the Hornets were in the play-in and got beat by about 40 points versus the Indiana Pacers. So MJ couldn't handle the play-in. I mean, imagine if he was on the court. Can't handle it up there. Less pressure on the court. He'd crumble in a play-in. I mean, most people just have to admit the facts there. I mean, look, the Hornets live in the play-in right now. It's just the state of the situation there. A 31-33 group, who, though, last night DRS had themselves a big-time result. They beat the Cavs in Cleveland by 21 points. The Cavs, since coming off of the All-Star break, again, a lot of people wonder, could this be the future LeBron James team here? Well, they've been real bad. They've been real bad since coming off of the break. They lost to the Detroit Pistons, narrowly escaped the Wizards. Timberwolves beat them at home. Hornets beat them at home. Even going back pre-break, they have now lost 5 of their last 6 games. The Cavs, Donnie, 1 point. Is this the one seed in the Eastern Conference? Is this team going to win the Central Division? Hot or not, Donnie, the Cavs will be a first-round exit.
Yeah, Cavs are going to be a first-round exit. And it's no shame in their game. It really isn't here because you're taking a look at the Cavs are on that 5 seed. So if you're going to match them up with somebody like the Milwaukee Bucks or the Philadelphia 76ers or the Chicago Bulls, what do you want out of the Cavs? They're not going to be favored in that first-round series. And again, as I say, it's no shame. Like, sometimes you have to take these building blocks and say, you know, how many times you equate it to another sport? And you say, all right, this team is young. They get into the playoffs. You just want to get them that feel, even if they get bounced out. Case in point, the Philadelphia Eagles. Good to see Jalen Hurts get a little bit of playoffs. Yeah, well, they got crushed in that game, so I don't know how much it actually helped Jalen Hurts. But moving forward to the NBA, sometimes just to get a taste of it, right? It happens if they square up against the Milwaukee Bucks and say, We're playing the defending champions on their home court here. Let's see if we can measure up. Now, sure, you don't want to go out 4-0, right? You don't want to go out in five games, but if you can extend it to six or even seven games, you can build on that and say, okay, we got a taste of the playoffs against a really good team. Now, normally you would look at this and say, well, hey, if they're favored in the first round, they better pull their own weight and win. But, Kevin, I don't think they're going to be favored. So it's no shame for me. I don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to advance past the first round. I'm going to go with a not. The Cleveland Cavaliers are out of the playoffs here.
Yeah, listen, the Cavs would be real excited if they win two games in the playoffs, all right? I mean, take a look at the scope here. Right now they're in the five spot. They play Milwaukee.
Yep.
The expectation is they lose in four or five games. But, again, even if it – I mean, who's the team that they're not going to be put in that position against? Miami, same deal. Chicago, same deal. Philly, you better believe it. Boston, yup. Brooklyn, like, Don, the Cleveland's going to get hot, climb to the one seed, and then play the Nets yeah. and get promptly, thank you very much, in five games here. I mean, there just isn't a scenario for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It doesn't mean the season is a failure. No, it's a great season. For the Cavs, young core, Jared Allen and Darius Garland in the All-Star game. A group that has played well enough that people now could legitimately make an argument that it could be a better situation for LeBron James. That gives you confidence around what you're building there in Cleveland. But at some point, the conversation shifted, and understandably so, as this Cleveland team was putting forward phenomenal results. And I understand that this was Darius Garland's first game back off of injury. Although that's not a valid excuse, considering he had 33 points and was 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. This is a Cleveland team that's predicated on shutting teams down on the defensive side of the basketball. And sometimes that stuff, for a team like Cleveland, works a lot better in the regular season than the postseason. Just ask the New York Knicks. That's just the way it goes. I wanted to bring up the Knicks quickly here in this range, DRS. Honestly, is there any way that Tom Thibodeau is coaching this team next year?
No, I don't think there's any way, because it's not about can Tom turn it around, which maybe he can. It's all public perception. You can't go backwards after so much excitement coming into New York for this year for the Knicks. Hey, look at that. We made the playoffs this year. Maybe we can make a run. Let's add some pieces. And they fell off. They're not going to get into the playing game, which is astounding. I don't think in a market as big as New York that you can survive, and especially if the Brooklyn Nets go on a run in the playoffs as well.
Here's the thing, right? The next game, Donnie, is at Phoenix. So that's another spot where you're going to catch double digits. But forget that. I mean, Donnie, this team has now proceeded to lose 9 of their last 10 games, right? I mean, they're terrible here. This team's really, really bad overall. And they were the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. Kemba Walker is shut down. They didn't look to add guards because Thibodeau sold the organization that Derrick Rose was going to come back and fix this basketball team. It's been like pulling teeth for him to even put Cam Reddish out there on the floor. RJ Barrett scores 30 a night and makes no difference. It's a disaster for the Knicks. They're going to continue to get smashed. I shouldn't have bet their team.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. DRS wanted to talk Eastern Conference long shots. Yeah, too bad, man. Let me sneak this in here quickly. Jimmy Garoppolo, all right? Now, listen. Some people tried to say that Jimmy G was not going to have his value have a hit because he's not going to be able to throw a football until the summer, and maybe we'll be ready when the NFL season is underway. One of the most outlandish notions in the history of our good sport. Now, I'm just calling it like it is. An often injured, below average quarterback is not going to command a first round pick like people pretend. Donnie prefers to stick up for all the nice people of Buffalo and Denver. And apparently now, Donnie, as you've completely punted on the concept of integrity, are trying to tell me that Jimmy Garoppolo isn't below average?
Yeah, sometimes you got to be a little two-faced in this business. Hey, come on the show, talk to me. Like, you know, Kev, I agree with that take. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a good quarterback. It's hilarious to think that they're going to get any sort of top compensation. And then a little bit later in the day, I feel a little bit of frisky, go on Twitter, and somebody's like, hey, man, you can't basically attack Jimmy Garoppolo like that. Who are you? And I chime in and be like, yeah, who is this guy? And Jimmy Garoppolo's on his way to doing some big things here. And there you go. Uh-huh. You got to be a little two-faced in this business to succeed. Smile to their face, but when they walk out the door, smack them on the back. That's the way it is.
Listen, I feel like that's what the Niners have been doing. I think that's what the Niners have been doing to Jimmy Garoppolo, to be honest with you, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Every time they sit down, they're like, Jimmy, you're crushing it, man. Man, this guy stinks. Again, can someone please interview Trey Lance? I need to call up my good, close, personal friend, Pat McAfee. Yes. And ask him if he could interview Trey Lance to ask him some hard-hitting questions, some along the lines of, are you any good? Were you surprised that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't get benched? Do you think Jimmy's going to stay? Are you excited for your future in Green Bay or Houston? Just a couple of normal ones there for Trey Lance. More NFL talks on the other side.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.